Now it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belville.
All right. Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. We made it to the weekend. It is Friday, October 23rd, 2015. We are a week away from Halloween weekend. And here I thought Halloween weekend, I would be down in Fresno, California, for the High Times Central California Cannabis Cup, the first of its kind. High Times went and promoted it, and then, oops, city won't give them any permits for it. So they had to cancel it, or at least postpone it, right? And it's like, guys, you know, people make plans around this stuff, you know? They book plane tickets and trains and hotels and all that. Maybe don't announce a cup until you have the permits needed to throw the cup. Just thought out of love, criticism out of love. I love High Times, love my peeps, but come on, guys. maybe people that are running dispensaries and grows can afford to rebook, but, you know, poor little activists like me, man, it cost me some money. Hey, let me go to the phone lines here because I got one of our fans, a MassCan Normal member that I had met at the Boston Freedom Rally. She had emailed me, said she had exciting news, so let's get her on the phone. Is it Jean or Jeannie?
It's Jeannie.
Jeannie, nice to have you on. How you doing?
Great. Couldn't be better out here in Massachusetts. We got some really exciting things going on in the state.
Before we get into the marijuana, though, I got to say, Jeannie, that at this point in the season, it's looking very possible for Super Bowl 50 to be the Packers and the Patriots. And we might have a problem.
Wow.
We might have a problem then.
Well, you know, I don't know what to say. I'm really excited for Tom Brady. You know, I think he's really showing that, you know, it's just the whole thing's ridiculous.
Just brushing off Deflategate. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Just brush it off.
You know, it's crazy.
Yeah. Hey, so you said you had exciting news about the governor of Massachusetts. Who's this guy and what's the news?
Yeah, I have incredible news. And right now, like, you called me and I forgot all about that you were calling me. And I'm trying to get a signal to load my Facebook page so I can read you the quote
okay.
of what our governor said about medical marijuana.
I'll tell you what we can do. We can put you on hold while you go ahead and do that. And I can do my thing and play some ads. And when we come back, we'll have those quotes ready.
Okay.
All right.
That
so
sounds great.
I'll keep you on the line. Just hold on. And then you do what you got to do. We'll be back in like 5 minutes. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeannie. All right. So this is exciting because this is what, you know, my whole idea of what 420 Radio ought to be is this public radio platform. Like, this is our public radio. So if you got a story in your local area and it's not getting covered, or even if it is getting covered and you just want to offer your perspective on it, that's what this hour is all about. That's why we got a toll-free number, 84-420-RADIO. So if you're in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and you got something that's going on there, you're passing around. Aren't they doing a medical marijuana in Oklahoma now? They're passing around the initiative petitions, and you want to, you know, pimp that out? Please give us a call. We'll give you as much help as we can by getting the word out. This is what 420 Radio is all about. Also wanted to mention that I've got another post up on marijuanapolitics.com, and it's my international post for the week, about a guy by the name of Christian Baker, who is fighting his charges for possession of dacha. D-A-G-G-A. That's what they call marijuana in South Africa, is dacha. And dacha is actually a word that's kind of like marijuana in that some of the people that like cannabis say that dacha is used to demean marijuana, or to demean cannabis, right? Like marijuana is used to demean cannabis. So it's interesting, kind of a cultural parallel there. I was looking up the story today, but it was kind of difficult because every time I put Christian Baker into Google, I kept getting stories back about homophobes who won't bake cakes for gay people. So, like, no, not those kind of Christian Bakers. I mean, a guy named Christian Baker. But he's 23 years old. He's in South Africa, and he successfully got the provincial court to put a stay on the township's court's prosecution of him for possession until the constitutional court, which is like their Supreme Court, can figure out all of these cases. And it's not just him. There's like 19 other cases now of people that have their cases stayed. They're like on hold until the constitutional court can rule on this. And the interesting twist is that South Africa's constitution was written in the late 90s after the fall of apartheid. It was at 94, 96. I don't remember, but after the fall of apartheid, Nelson Mandela, all that. So it's a really new constitution, and it includes within it, as part of its Bill of Rights, the UN Declaration of Human Rights, which is a more expansive document than what we've got for the Bill of Rights and such here in the United States. So part of the argument has to do with preventing people from being able to use cannabis is a violation of the UN Charter on Human Rights. If this is something the South African Constitutional Court agrees with, that South Africans can't be prosecuted because their civil law says, you know, their civil rights are being violated, and those civil rights are based on the UN Declaration of Human Rights, then any other country that is subscribing to the UN Declaration of Human Rights, maybe not to the extent South Africa has because it's part of their constitution, but at least there's a case to be made now of hypocrisy. Like, you can't subscribe, say that you're a signatory or a subscriber to the UN Declaration on Human Rights when here one of the governments of the world has declared that violates those human rights. It'd be an interesting case to make.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
The Russ Belville Show reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while. Share.
Four20 Radio, the world's voice of marijuana legalization.
I'm Nick Lachey. Ohio is my home, and I care very deeply about the people here, which is why I'm proud to be a part of a movement that's going to create jobs, reinvigorate our economy, and improve the safety of our communities.
It'll give me a chance to open a business or a job to pay off my college loans.
And legalizing marijuana will provide tax revenue for local safety services. Let's do what the politicians haven't done. For marijuana legalization, vote no on 2 and yes on 3.
Step into the future every Tuesday night with Electric Bob's Boogaloo, our weekly electronic music jam. Electric Bob brings you the latest house, trance, dubstep, and other electronic music from the freshest DJs and producers. It's every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Pacific, with replays weekends at 11 p.m. on 420radio.org. Imagine life without taxes. Let New Era Certified Public Accountants, NewEraCPAs.com, handle your Cannabusiness 280E and tax strategy. Get your business prepared with New Era CPAs Cannabis Finance Bootcamp.
NewEraCPAs.com. With years of experience in the industry, we are one of the nation's leading accounting firms for growers, dispensaries, and ancillary companies from Washington to California. NewEraCPAs.com.
Welcome back, Tokers and Tokettes. There was supposed to be a song playing there, but apparently it's a song that's 0 minutes long, so we got a problem with the MP3, but you're listening to the Russ Belville Show's Toker Talk Radio here on 420radio.org. Of course, the big change is coming for the Russ Belville Show. My show, the podcast, will begin to be hosted exclusively at CannabisRadio.com. So I'll be jumping to like this big network now that includes Dr. Mitch Earlywine and Vivian McPeak and Kyle Cushman. And it'll be the new CannabisRadio.com network that'll eventually also be a streaming network. But 420 Radio will still exist. We will still have this stream providing you with music and the activist shows that you've come to know and love throughout our schedule. So you'll have two choices. Also, the 420 Radio app should be coming out soon in the iTunes and Android markets, as well as for BlackBerry and Windows Phone. It's been submitted. They're reviewing it. Should be out pretty soon. All right, let's go back to our phone lines where Jeannie in Boston is there. And Jeannie, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you very well, and I'm all ready to go.
All right, so we were talking about the governor there in Massachusetts. His name's what, Charlie Baker, right?
Yes,
okay, and hasn't always been friendly to medical marijuana, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
I want to give you a little background information before I read the quotes to you.
Good idea.
I went to high school with the governor.
Oh, okay.
So I know him kind of on a personal basis.
Did you give him swirlies, push him in his locker, stuff like that?
Did I what?
Give him swirlies, push him in the locker, you know. That kind
no,
of stuff.
No, I was in love with him. I used to sit in the cafeteria and watch him walk around.
Okay, so
I
we all know our high school.
He was going to be something really big.
I was going to say, we all know our high school cliques. Which clique was he in? Was he in the jocks? Was he in the stoners? How did it all work out?
Well, I hung out with everybody. The motorheads, the stoners. I knew everybody. And Charlie was like that too.
Okay. Go on.
He was involved in everything, and everybody loved him. You know, he always had a smile on his face, and he knew everybody.
Okay.
But so fast forward to a couple of years ago, I'm not a Republican, but friends of mine are, and they ran benefits for Charlie to raise campaign money and stuff. So I just wanted to go and talk to Charlie.
Okay.
And we kind of reconnected. Well, like last December, we both grew up in this town called Needham, Massachusetts, and we have a big Christmas tree lighting ceremony on the common every year. So I ran into him last December, and I walked up to him and I congratulated him for winning the election, winning the governorship, and I said, I really need to talk to you about something very serious. And he said to me, what's that? And I said, medical marijuana. I said, we voted for it 2 years ago. The Department of Public Health has taken in $3 million. They haven't done anything. Nothing's open. It's like you can't get any information from them. And we've got 15 dispensaries in the pipeline in the process, and nothing's happened. And I said, I have to drive 4 hours round trip to Maine to get my medicine because I'm a cancer survivor. And I'm healthy. I can do that. But what do really sick people do? And he said to me, he goes, you know, I know the Department of Public Health has a lot of problems. He goes, right now I'm transitioning into the governor's office. So he said, I promise you, I will look into this. You know, and I asked him, I said, you know, I got a really great movie I want you to watch. It's called The Union, The Business of Getting High.
Good choice.
I said, you really need to watch that movie. It'll give you a good overall general education on the subject. I said, you really need to learn about this, Charlie. This is big time. So he said, I promise, you know, he goes, I promise I'll watch the movie too. He goes, I don't know when I'll be able to, but I promise you I'll do it. So So fast forward, the next week or the week after, he was interviewed by the Newburyport News. A girlfriend of mine sent me the article. He said in the interview his top three priorities were get my budget in order, dealing with the heroin overdose problem in the state, and getting the medicinal marijuana dispensaries open. So I was like, you know, awesome. So then fast forward to February, and once he got into office, he assigned Mary Lou Sutters she's the head of Health and Human Services in the state of Massachusetts. He had her put together a 14-member panel, and he said, I want you to go out and have meetings around the state, get people's ideas, listen to people, what problems they're having, and, you know, fact find for me, get information, and report back to me. So they had four meetings around the state of Massachusetts. I went to the one in Plymouth, Massachusetts. There was about 300 or 400 people there. It was really like, you know, it was a serious meeting. I mean, they had, you know, sign language there. They videotaped the whole thing. It was incredible. Like, and I got up and spoke about how medical marijuana can help heroin addicts, you know, and I said, you know, it's all well and good to get these people clean and off heroin. I said, but 63% of them that are addicted started with legal prescription drugs for medical problems. Mm-hmm. And what are we going to give these people that's safe and effective? Because you're going to take them off the heroin and they're still going to have their health problems, so they're just going to go back on the heroin or the opioid.
Right on.
So Mary Lou Sutters kind of blew me off. She goes, well, we don't really have time to go into the merits of medical marijuana here tonight. So I'm going to give you to a deputy from the Department of Public Health. You can give her all your information. I said, can I just say one more thing before you pass me off? And she goes, yes, if it's only going to be a minute. I said, it's only going to be a minute. I said, there was a study done by the University of Pennsylvania, Perelman School of Medicine. They did a study in the 13 states where medical marijuana was legal over a 10-year period from, 1999 to 2010, mm-hmm. Okay? What they found was there was almost a 25% drop in heroin overdose deaths, or opioid overdose deaths.
That's right.
So I said in 2013, approximately 44,000 people died of opioid overdoses. So 25% of that, let's say 10,000 people over a 10-year period, that's 100,000 people.
That's right.
I go, those are serious, serious numbers. I said, don't you think that we really need to take a look at this?
Absolutely, and that sound means it's 4:20 out here on the West Coast. We have a union-mandated safety break we have to take, Jeannie, but
okay. You
are awesome for standing up for medical marijuana like that. If you want to stay on the line, we'll talk some more.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right, hold on. We'll be right back with Jeannie in Boston and more on their governor, Charlie Baker, when we get back.
It's always 4:20 on your 24-hour cannabis community radio, 420radio.org.
Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal,
ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers.
Yo, it's Kasky. I'm out here in Columbus, Ohio, letting y'all know that coming up November 3rd, we got a chance to legalize pot in Ohio. Huge step for the country, for the state. So I need everybody to get off your ass and go vote yes on issue 3, November 3rd. Don't be lazy. Let's make our country better. Let's make our people better. Let's start healing each other. Make the world a better place. Issue 3.
Let's talk about the plan to legalize marijuana. The politicians are playing games by calling it a monopoly. They'll do anything to trick voters. It's not a monopoly. It's a plan that initially limits the number of growers for strict regulation before adding more. It provides medical marijuana for those in need. It creates jobs and generates tax revenue. If you think it's time to legalize marijuana, this is our chance. Vote no on 2 and yes on 3.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Rockin' Friday, featuring rock, metal, and the hard edge of alternative country. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
All right, welcome back. And for Daily Toker Tunes, we have the master of metal, Marijuana Mayhem, and now a survivor of GWAR. It's Herb Thrasher. How you doing, Herb?
Doing great. Yeah, coming off a great weekend from a Hempstock Harvest Festival here in Portland. And it didn't end on Sunday. We went right into Monday. And with, as you mentioned, GWAR and Battlecross came to town. GWAR is on a 30-year kind of touring celebration tour. And they were cool enough to invite us down, allow us to come in and got some heck of a stories to tell you guys tonight on Herb Thrash Flower Hour at 8 p.m. right here on the 420 Radio Network. Amazing time. Had a great interview with Beefcake. And then all of a sudden, two more of the guys came walking up. And so it turned into this huge thing and just a lot of fun. Great times. Battlecross was great. Talked with Gumby from Battlecross right there on the street corner. And once I mentioned hemp to him, he just kind of lit up and started going off. And so it was great to catch up with him on their new release, Rise to Power, and also to see somebody who is not only about marijuana, but just really understands hemp like a lot of us do. So we'll be airing both of those interviews tonight. Great stuff. And it was really, really fun night. And so mentioned Hempstock, and that takes us to our Rockin' Friday track. And I was walking through Sunday night. It was late. You know, it was one of those whole weekend deals and didn't know what was up. And there was, I heard this bluegrass band and it just stopped me in my tracks. And I went over there and they were the Antonucci Collective. And just wow. And it was one of those bands that I just didn't even make it back to my booth. Some helpers were kind of helping the booth themselves because I stayed for their whole set, ended up taking pictures and checked them out. And they were smart enough to give me and 420 Radio a CD after their set. And so because they did that, we had a tune and are able to bring them to you guys. So they played Sunday night at the 7 p.m. set. And this year was a fun year, a lot of improvements from last year. We'll talk about that tonight on Herb Thrasher Flower Hour as well. And then next week on the 420 Radio Network right there on Thrasher Hour, we'll bring footage from the Hempstock. So great stuff coming up. You guys stay tuned. This is the Antonucci Collective, and the tune is Sad Wolf Rider. Turn it up. We'll see you tonight at 8 p.m. right here.
From town to town, taking out his passion with a smile and a frown, and now find the savior. Wobble Rider is what they call him. Some say they hear him howling at the moon. Legends tell us he is searching. Oh, the path he ran away from. Wanting to be the world's best gunslinger, he sold his soul to a red-suited singer. The singer gave him the power of death, the power to take away another man's breath. And every murder worried his wife. She took away their family to save their lives. Sad Wolverine Rider is what they call him. You see his face, the sorrow he holds in his eyes will lead you to your demise. Leave this man to his own travels. Give him the time for a story to unravel. Sad Wolverine Rider is what they call him. Some say they hear him howling at the moon. Legends tell us he is searching. Oh, the man he ran away from.
Tjena, jag heter David, PKA The Dirtball. Vi ska röka hela tiden, alla år.
The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com.
I remember the day Addison was born. She was just perfect. But then the seizures started, up to 1,000 a day from severe epilepsy. Nothing we tried or the doctors tried worked. So we moved our family from Ohio to Colorado to try medical marijuana. Now Addison only has a few seizures a day and she's a kid again. We want to move back to Ohio, but we can't because her medicine is illegal there. It's time for marijuana reform.
You're listening to 420 Radio. Listen Saturday at 2 p.m. Pacific for High Times Presents Free Weed from Danny Danko, podcasting at hightimes.com/freeweed. High Times Magazine Senior Cultivation Editor Danny Danko answers reader questions and discusses grow tips, security do's and don'ts, and reports on the latest High Times events. Check our online listings for High Times Presents Free Weed from Danny Danko from hightimes.com. At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs, and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics, Herbie Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
Aw, yeah, it is definitely Rockin' Friday here at 420 Radio. That's John Garcia with My Mind. And earlier you heard a earlier you heard the Dirtball exhorting you to legalize marijuana in Swedish. Roland Reverend wanted to know in the chat room, what language was that? It's Swedish. And there's this great song that the Dirtball plays called Mira Shuka Garden. And that's as close as I can pronounce it. And it details his time that he spent in Sweden. This is a kid from, skinny white kid from Bend, Oregon. Spent time in Sweden and worked at a crematorium of all places. And so it's actually a really good song for our, for Halloween as we're getting toward Halloween. Let me play a little bit of it for you. This is the Dirtball with Mira Shuka Garden. Good Halloween music.
Murashika Gordon, where the devils play and the spirits come out like every day. Murashika Gordon, where the bodies get burned, it's incredible how the bones get to the urn. Murashika Gordon, where the devils play and the spirits come out like every day. Murashika Gordon, first European job, stay set for an even darker mirage. I'm in the Swedish land trying to get my work on. Crematorium, my calling, let me put my shirt on. Better yet, my burning suit, the only job this American could land. He put my hand in the ground, pulling up the deceased. Least I'm making money while I'm facing the beast. Ash maker, soul taker, we be the ones to make it peace. Midsummer was the start of these intentions that I mentioned. If I knew what was to come, I might have played dumb. In any case, we got 36 with 6 to get them out. From the freezer to the ground, the emotions do it out. It became apparent that the warm summer that I was gonna be burning in the land of the Viking temperatures was turning up a couple hundred degrees. The blow in the stack, I was learning and taking notes on the sickest subject matter. Shuka Gordon, where the devils play and the
that's the Dirtball with Mira Shuka Garden. And this is one of the, I think about the third song of his that I had hit upon. First was a Moonshine Rhyme, and there was another one. This one really turned me on to him because he raps in Swedish in this song too.
Okay, Shina. Jag heter David, jag jobbar med Mura kyrkogården i krematori. Jag pratar med dig idag om death. Vill du lyssna fortfarande eller vill du säga åt mig? Dra åt helvete! Om du ser båda, det gör det ingenting. Du vill dö, du vill dö någon gång. Hur vill du dö i krematori med mig? Kanske det? Yeah. Vad ska vi göra? Dröka hela tiden. Fest och dröka hembränt med min död kompis i Sweden. Jag jobbar hela tiden until my hands are bleeding. Mura kyrkogården, home of the dead we feed. Vad ska vi göra? Dröka hela tiden.
So there you go, folks. You gotta admit, this is the first time you ever heard somebody rap in Swedish. And do a damn fine job at it. That's the Dirtball. You can check him out. He's a member of the Cottonmouth Kings now as well, and a really talented young man. Let's go back to our phone lines because the wonderful Jeannie has been sitting on the line waiting for us to tell us more about her high school classmate, the governor of Massachusetts, Charlie Baker. Jeannie, welcome back.
Thank you. Here I am.
Where do we leave off?
Your listeners are pretty frustrated. They're probably like, damn, woman, get to the chase. Tell us what's happening.
Well, we were talking about Charlie Baker, governor, and you've confronted him about medical marijuana, and he said he'd look into it, and that's kind of where we were at.
Yeah, he said he'd look into it and that he wasn't really on board for legalization, but he does believe in it medically, and he said, if there is a valid initiative, I will honor it.
Hmm.
So I said, well, you can bet your ass that there's going to be a ballot initiative.
Oh, yeah.
So fast forward, I speak to the DPH, I go to the opioid crisis meetings, I'm pushing medical marijuana and how it can help. And one day I open up the Department of Public Health website, and there's a press release saying we're making changes to the way that dispensaries are, how they can go through the process of getting a license. So I was all happy about that, and I happened to run into Charlie at another fundraiser that night. So I walk in, he walks in, I go up to him, I'm like, he gives me a hug and a kiss, and I said, I'm doing the happy dance. I saw the press release on the website today. And he goes, yep. He goes, you know, you were right. It was a mess. He goes, I took a look at it. I have no idea why they set it up the way they did. He goes, it's ridiculous. And so I said, well, that's great. He goes, I think the changes we made is going to free up the flow now. So I said, great. So I said, I did go to your opioid meeting in Plymouth and, you know, talk to them about medical marijuana, how it can help addicts. He goes, oh, I know. I go, you do? And he goes, yeah, I know you were there. And I go, and then I got invited to go to the DPH, and I blew them out of the water with all my studies and facts and everything. So we said, I saw everything. He goes, I saw your testimony. I read everything you submitted. He goes, I've been getting your emails. I get all your information you send me to educate myself. And he said, you did an awesome job. So I said, great. So fast forward now, I haven't seen him since like last March or April. And last Thursday or Friday, I get an email from a friend going, look at this. I open up the Herald. There's a newspaper. There's the Boston Globe and then the Herald.
Yep.
And he was on a radio show like Thursday, and the Herald ran a story on it with all his quotes. So let me read to you what he said.
All right.
It says, Governor Charlie Baker said he is open to the idea of addicts using medicinal marijuana as a way to wean their way off harder drugs amid a statewide opiate epidemic. There is no question that for certain people, whether you are talking about seizures or ulcers or pain or cancer, medical marijuana has turned out to be a significantly improved solution for them compared to some of the more traditional solutions like opioids, Baker said, following a speech at the Career Collaborative Leadership Breakfast in Boston. Several Massachusetts doctors recently told the Herald they are treating hundreds of opioid addicts with medical cannabis. Baker stressed that the treatment option is a doctor and patient call, but was supportive of the idea. He said, if there are people out there who would prefer an alternative to an opioid, I think that's something people should take pretty seriously. Baker said the Department of Public Health is trying to fix the botched medical marijuana system he took over from Governor Deval Patrick's administration.
Mm-hmm.
We have been in the process of sort of redoing the bungled process we inherited, he said. My hope is we will be able to serve people on a medical marijuana basis statewide by the end of this year.
Wow.
A call for comment to spokesman Scott Zoback of the Department of Public Health, who oversees the state's medical marijuana program, was not immediately returned. The governor also discussed one of his new opioid bill proposals. Under the new bill, drug-addicted women would be sent to either Lemuel Shattuck Hospital in Jamaica Plain or Taunton State Hospital, rather than being sent to NCI Framingham Prison if they are involuntarily committed. MCI Framingham is a minimum security prison, and there's murderers and armed robbers.
Gotcha.
In that prison. So he's saying we're not gonna arrest these people anymore. We're gonna get them into treatment. You may have heard of the chief of police up in Gloucester, Mass. He was the first chief of police to come out and say that we're not gonna arrest addicts anymore. If you want treatment, you come in, you say, listen, I want treatment, I wanna get clean, and we'll find treatment for you.
That's great.
So Baker said his administration is working on developing the capacity to serve women at the two locations. Our goal would be to, by this spring, be in a position where women who are addicted are committed to a treatment facility and not a jail. So I read that, and I was doing backflips. I was like, oh, my God. So then I heard, and I went to a MASCAN meeting this weekend. He signed this. There's two groups that filed bills to put the question of recreational legalization on the ballot in Massachusetts in 2016. One was Bay State Repeal, which is the law, the bill that I signed. And then there's another one called CRMLA, C-R-M-L-A, which is a collaborative to regulate, legalize and regulate and tax marijuana like alcohol. Yeah,
campaign to regulate marijuana like alcohol.
There you go. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
So they said, I had heard that Charlie Baker had signed one of the ballot initiative petitions.
Wow.
So Will from CRMLA just happened to be at the meeting, and I said, has anyone heard which petition Charlie Baker signed? And Will said he signed ours.
Wow.
So not only is he opening up the logjam of medical marijuana in the state of Massachusetts, but he signed the petition for the ballot initiative to be on the ballot for recreational legalization.
That is fantastic news.
Now, that,
oh, the audience is going crazy. They love that. The audience love that.
Oh, my God. It's just, this is big. I've been oscillating between laughing my head off and jumping up and down to crying.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can't believe it. So he did what I asked him to do, which is amazing. And I talked to Nicole Snow, who's, I don't know if you met her at the Freedom Rally when you were here. She's the head of Massachusetts Patient Alliance.
Okay.
And she has also met Charlie Baker. And I called her and I told her the news. And I said, you know, I'm going to see if I can get in to have a meeting with him. And I've called one of my state senators who's a mutual friend and asked him to see if he can get me in to see Charlie. And I asked Nicole if she wanted to go, and she was like, absolutely. And she goes, you know, I can't get over him. She goes, when I met him, he didn't know me from anything. And he actually stood there and talked to me. And she goes, I could tell he was really listening to me. And he listened to what I had to say. And I said, well, obviously, he's listened to the both of us, and he's listen to the right people now, and look at what he's doing. She was like, everybody can't believe it. Hmm. It's just, this was so fabulous. So
yeah. That's
my story. That's what I wanted to share with you.
Well, thank you very much, Jeannie, for sharing.
Yeah, I've been invited to go down to speak in Georgia to the Georgia governor. I don't even know his name yet.
Nathan Deal is his name.
Is it?
Yep.
Mr. Beal?
Deal, like dealing the cards.
Oh, Deal. Okay.
Yeah, Nathan Deal.
Okay, so I talked to Sharon, who's the head of Peachtree Normal.
Mm-hmm.
She said, listen, I've heard about the work that you've done in Massachusetts, and this stuff with Charlie Baker is just over the top.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, can you get all the information together that you've submitted to him? And I said, sure. She goes, because I want to fly you down. I want to have you talk to our governor. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
That's
so
great.
It just blows my mind. You know, I say to my friends, you know, who would have ever thought that I would be influencing a governor?
Isn't that amazing?
You know, it just blows me away because, you know.
Well, that's the way it works, though. Activism starts with act, and you got out and acted.
Exactly. That's what I've told all my friends. That's what I try to teach all my friends. Nothing is going to change in this country until we all get involved and we vote.
Yep. And you got to put your face in front of these people. You know, you can't let them dismiss you as just an email or a letter or a phone call or a text, or, you know, you're rejecting a human being when you're talking this way.
Exactly.
Well, Jeannie, I thank you so much for joining us on the show today. We got to get running for another commercial break, and you've been on for all this time. I'm sure your ear's starting to hurt.
I'm trying to cook my dinner and get something in my stomach, but thank you so much for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
I will keep you posted as to what happens.
Please do. Feel free to call our line. We're 84-420 radio. We're 7 o'clock Eastern. We're always taking calls, so you can call in anytime.
Okay. Okay, Russ. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeannie. All right. Great time here at 420 Radio. Remember, the phone line is 84-420 Radio, and we're here to hear from coast to coast what's going on in your neck of the woods, what's happening among your local activist base. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll close up the show with my new post at Huffington Post.
Elitist. Just like any other dishwashing, burger-flipping, public school-educated, self-employed, bar band, musician, National Guardsman, he's Radical Russ.
Yes, the rant that I went on earlier in the first hour about Don E. Wertschafter's op-ed in the Athens News in Ohio is now up on Huffington Post, entitled Stoners Against Legalization Desperately Lying About Ohio Issue 3. We'll talk about that when we come back.
From the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com, and follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter.
NORMAL stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks are far less than those posed by legal drugs.
Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org.
That's right. The king of heavy metal, Ronnie James Dio and Rainbow. Long live rock and roll live.
Yeah.
That's right. Long live rock and roll. Check us out tonight, 8 p.m., the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. We got some rock and roll for you. Herb's going to be telling you all about his time at the Roseland Theater here in Portland, surviving GWAR. Now, if you don't know what GWAR is, GWAR, okay, so you older folks, you'll know KISS, right? You remember KISS with the makeup and the platform boots, right? Okay, so like take that idea and turn it up to 11. GWAR are these guys that are aliens from another planet, and they wear these huge costumes. Like one guy's got an anvil for a head and the other's got big spikes. I mean, think of like, you know, the black hole for Oakland Raiders football games. Those guys that wear the big pads. Think that, but bigger. Right? And they spew blood at their concerts, and their songs are about, you know, all sorts of things. Let's just leave it at that. Anyway, he went to the GWAR show and survived, and also got an interview, a backstage interview with the guys from GWAR in costume, which is on his video channel. You won't hear it on the show, but pretty amazing. So I'm looking forward to tonight, Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, 8 p.m. Pacific time. Now, as I was saying, my latest post up on Huffington Post has been posted. Kind of redundant there. It's entitled "Stoners Against Legalization Desperately Lying About Ohio Issue 3. And it's with respect to an op-ed that was written by Don E. Wertschafter. Now, I'm going to get a lot of shit for this, because Don E. Wertschafter is one of the longtime, old guard, most respected legalization activists out there. He's a mainstay at the Seattle Hemp Fest for their Hemposium stage, longtime Ohio activist, and says so in the little bio that accompanies the op-ed at Athens News. It says Don E. Wertschafter is an Athens lawyer who's been a longtime leader in cannabis reform. In 1990, he founded the Ohio Hempery, the pioneer industrial hemp business. And then the sentence that caught my eye. Wertschafter also has been involved in the leading edge development of cannabis pharmaceuticals. Now, there's all sorts of company ties that Don E. Wertschafter has with folks out there trying to make a buck on the pharmaceuticalization of marijuana. I don't have that data right in front of me, so I'm just going off my memory. I think he's got GW Pharmaceutical stock. Not sure, but I think it was GW Pharma. So GW Pharma, the one that's trying to corner the market and make an Epidiolex and Sativex and all of these cannabinoid pharmaceuticals, Don's got a hand in that. And so here comes issue 3 that would create medical marijuana that has to be sold at the lowest wholesale price, tax-free. And he's standing up against it. Isn't that an interesting juxtaposition, wouldn't you say? A situation where parents of epileptic kids and cancer patients and hospice patients who can't wait for the next election, if something were to come up in the next election, which is pie in the sky thinking at its best, but even if it did come up for the next election, some of these people won't be around. And it's just mind-boggling to me, because there's so many of these people I know that are on this kind of... See, I come at a later generation into this marijuana reform thing. You got this generation, it was the boomers, the yippies, they're grounded in the 60s ethos. You know, like I like to say, when people say radical Rush, you're not that radical, I always like to say, no man, not 60s radical, 80s radical, right? Not peace signs, more like hang loose, bruh. And these 60 radical types, these yippie types, have this utopian ideal of what marijuana legalization is going to be. And now that it's happening, and now that marijuana has become subject to the same laws of supply and demand and business economics as any other valuable commodity, they're all pissed about it. They're freaked out about, wait a minute, our hippie utopia is not coming to be. We're not all holding hands and singing kumbaya and passing the duchy to the left-hand side. And that's what I'm seeing from a lot of these guys that are, you know, frankly,
becoming dinosaurs in the marijuana movement. Because now that it's legal, it is about business. It is about money. You can decry that that's awful and it shouldn't be, but it is. It just is. The way our system works right now is that political change happens through the application of money and business. I don't like it either. I'm voting for Bernie Sanders, man. I want to see some changes in the way that the game is played at the big level. But I understand the game is played that way at the big level. And I want to see people stop being arrested. I want to see sick people getting medicine. I want to see an end to mass incarceration. I want to see people be able to have their employment not infringed because they consume cannabis. Those things don't happen unless the laws change. And the laws don't change unless some money gets involved. Even to get the medical marijuana we got out of Prop 215 in California required the injection of millions of dollars from the philanthropic billionaires. It's going to take money. And the yippie types like Don Wertschafter didn't get shit on the ballot for 40 years. And now we're supposed to listen to them saying, no, 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 pass up this opportunity because we'll be back with something better. When they've never been able to put anything on the ballot in 40 years. Patience can't wait, remember? All right, well, we are 11 days away from legalizing marijuana in the state of Ohio and striking a death blow to prohibition in anticipation of California. Ohio is one of 10 states that has no form of medical marijuana or legalization. Only 10 left. And they're mostly the belt of states that run down from North Dakota down through Kansas, and the belt of states that run from Indiana, Pennsylvania, Ohio, and West Virginia. There's two strips in America left where there's extreme anti-marijuana sentiment, and we could put a flag right in the middle with medical and legal in Ohio in 11 days. Don't pass it up. I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. Till next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you giant, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you